Welcome to Sign for the Times. The Society for the Involvement of Good Neighbors, known as Sign, is a not-for-profit agency in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, Canada, that provides social and community programs and services that fulfill its mission to provide leadership, programs, and services that assist, support, and empower children, adults, and families to achieve lifelong success. Sign believes that will lead to strong and caring citizens and communities. Our podcasts explore those programs and include conversations with those closely involved with Sign and people who have used the services of Sign. My name is Dick DeReich. Back in January of 2021, we published two podcasts that talked about homelessness in Yorkton, the issues faced by those who had experienced or were experiencing homelessness, and the efforts being made by Sign and others in the community to address those problems. At the time, Sign, on behalf of its partners, had just contracted with a Regina company to undertake a comprehensive study of housing needs in Yorkton. In June of this year, that report was completed. Today, we talk with Melinda Davis, the manager of Sign Housing Support, and Andrew Sedley, the executive director of Sign, both of whom have been involved extensively in the work leading up to the study and the study itself. Let's start by taking a step back and talk about how the needs assessment study came about. This type of a comprehensive report is costly, but you had a source of support.
Yes, Dick. Thank you. We had contacted the Community Housing Transformation Centre, which is a Canada-wide nonprofit and non-government organization, which was founded in 2018. And it was supported by the Canada Mortgage and Housing Corporation, known as CMHC, through Canada's National Housing Strategy. So we contacted them about getting funding so we could get the needs assessment done here in Yorkton. And we were accepted for that and went ahead with getting that done.
That funding really assisted us in our community here in getting that going. And, you know, we can't thank the support from Community Housing Transformation Center. They've kind of walked us through this process. And I know Melinda and I, speaking to Chris, the rep from there, this was the first ever project they've supported here in Saskatchewan. And so they were really interested too to kind of see more of that prairie model and how that would work in rural Saskatchewan. And so through that funding, we were able to apply for it. And that was kind of a goal of our social housing committee, which is based here in Yorkton, made up of a number of different organizations. And Sign took the lead, having a not-for-profit number and having Melinda be our support person and lead person has been very beneficial.
I was interested in, when I was reading about the organization, the Community Housing Transformation Center, their focus is actually quite interesting. They believe that everyone deserves a safe, affordable place to call home, but they work towards what they say is an entrepreneurial and economically viable model of community housing. A lot of people, in a lot of people's mind, community housing has to be, you know, can't be economically viable. It can't be entrepreneurial. You know, everybody says or feels that, you know, the cost is going to be borne on the back of taxpayers. And obviously they have a somewhat different approach to that, which is, it's kind of refreshing when I read that.
No, absolutely. Their focus, like you had mentioned, it's to look at other ways and other ways of doing things that, you know, maybe aren't the norm that we've always done for years and years here in Saskatchewan or in Canada. And they're a very innovative organization and like I mentioned, you know, they're interested to see kind of how that innovation can be used here in Yorkton.
Yep, excellent. So before we get into the details of that, let's also take kind of a bit of a jump ahead. We all know that people are often pretty suspicious about studies because, studies get done and then often a whole lot more doesn't happen after that. So what's going to be done with this study? What happens next? Or maybe something has already happened. Where do we go?
Well, we've had some facilitated sessions with community members, the Social Housing Committee, those that had taken part in the study just to discuss what the study had projected and what we can do going forward. We will be having a meeting with the community members and Social Housing Committee here in August just to determine what are those steps that we are going to take, who can take what steps in order to make some progress towards the recommendations that the study had indicated that we could be doing.
Yeah, Melinda, you know, really speaks too on the fact that, you know, a lot of times in the past, whatever studies there may be, a lot of times they sit on a shelf and they collect dust. And from the very beginning, once these results were given to us and the Social Housing Committee, we said, you know what, let's first bring everyone together that was a part of this needs assessment. And so they were all given the results. And then they were also invited to that facilitated session that Melinda had mentioned. And yeah, it just, we're really looking at setting up, okay, this is who can take the lead. These are the steps to get there. And when you look at these recommendations, they're very achievable, I believe. And having the ability for us to delegate us, okay, hey, I can take this on, or we can take this on and do it as a community. I think we're going to be very successful.
The study sets out a number of short-term priorities, things that it feels can be tackled immediately. And it also has a big long-term priority. So let's talk about the immediate priorities first. And there are, I think, four or five of them that maybe we can learn something about.
Yeah, so first off, one of those short-term priorities was the all-inclusive emergency shelters that accept all demographics. The study showed that men make up two-thirds of the hard-to-house population here in the community, but there's really no emergency options in place for them. You know, that's something I'm guessing that Melinda's seeing a lot through her housing support program as well. The males coming through the program and that sort of thing. And I know other agencies as well have. So had conversations with other agencies in town, and the Yorkton Tribal Council, for example, they're looking at this right now and seeing what they could be doing for individuals as well, especially males. They're seeing some of that too. And I'm guessing, Melinda, you're seeing a lot of that as well.
I do. Yeah. There's nothing in Yorkton for those that are homeless that are individual males. You know, Yorkton is great. We do have the two shelters in here for women who are fleeing abuse, but there isn't anything outside of that. So we definitely need something that is all inclusive to include not only just individuals, but families as well, because this impacts everybody.
They mentioned mental health issues as being a factor in all of this.
The mental health issues, yeah, in the report, it matched up nationally with what we're seeing for statistics too. Somewhere in the 40% range of all individuals that are accessing services are saying that they don't have a place to stay or are homeless are also reporting some mental health issues, that sort of thing as well. And so to see that in our community, we're right on page kind of with what we're seeing nationally too, it's something that we really need to focus on.
Those that are homeless, we do see a lot of trimorbidity. So there is the mental health issues, the drug addictions, the isolation, which creates more of that mental health issue going back to the addictions. It's a revolving cycle and keeps them on the streets. So having the support where they can have everything in one place being housed would be ideal.
The next one they mentioned is I guess, you know, you'd look at it and say, well, that's pretty self-evident, more affordable housing options. It's not easy to achieve.
Well, we got to look at it with both different aspects, right? Landlords, they need to get, you know, their profit from housing. But those that are homeless, they don't get enough money to pay the rent. So we do need to have that affordable option so that people can be housed. Just need to figure out a way to do that. We do have some great organizations in town that have affordable housing, but there's a waiting list. They're full. So then we have to look at those other options to get, you know, the individuals, families into some affordable housing.
Yeah, there are really no easy solutions to that, I would imagine, considering, you know, the economics of housing.
Right, right.
They say the largest barriers resulting in homelessness need to be addressed, and that includes unemployment, lack of education, learning disabilities among them.
Again, well, with COVID, you know, we noticed that there's employment rates that have been affected. But if we could get these people that are on the streets getting a job or being able to get some extra money, that would definitely help them in getting their housing needs met. The lack of education, where we do have Parkland College on the Social Housing Committee, and they are willing to work with us so that we would be able to look at some different education options for these people. The disabilities, you know, we can always look at options for them as well. And we've got Saskabilities on that, on the committee as well. So the partnerships with everybody in the community is what is going to be very important to address all of these barriers that people are seeing.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mention all of those, because the other point they make in the report is that you need a collaborative support network. And they say that would be beneficial, but don't we already have that, or aren't we a long ways towards that already?
We are a long ways towards that, absolutely. With the Social Housing Committee and having all of the partners together, we are now able to collaborate. Our community is great in seeing the need to address some of the homelessness issues. However, everybody's kind of doing it in their own little silos. This is going to bring everybody together, and we will be able to make the changes that need to be made.
I'm assuming you have an indication from these organizations that they are interested and that they're willing to work collaboratively as a group going forward.
Yes, during our focus groups, like, we had a number of agencies that were in the focus groups with us, the facilitated sessions, and just from those conversations that we had with them, we all want to move together in ending homelessness.
Yeah, and what we've seen too is our social housing committee. We've seen it grow since we've started this process back in January. So a lot of organizations or individuals that maybe weren't a part of the social housing committee before have now joined on and saying they want to be part of this moving forward. So, you know, that's only going to help us when we look collaboratively working together, that sort of thing in our community. Having kind of all hands on deck is our approach right now. And whoever can provide us supports and partnerships and want to be involved in this, because there's a lot of agencies, organizations that do see the need for housing that may not be focused on housing as their main goals through work, but they're seeing that the individuals they're supporting, it's really a major need for those people. So yeah, we're expanding our social housing committee. We've had a number of individuals that have contacted us saying, hey, we want to be a part moving forward. And so, you know, that will help us grow stronger as a community.
The long-term priority that is mentioned in the report is a concept called Housing First. What exactly is that? What does that entail?
The Housing First model is a model that has been around for a long time, started overseas, and the impact of getting housing for people and then working on all of the barriers that they see has been very beneficial. So with Housing First, you would find a place for that individual or family to move into and get them set up and then have the different supports, whether it's the financial support, income, employment support, mental health and addiction support, that all comes once they're housed. It's the belief that you can't go forward with anything unless you do have that roof over your head and start to feel good about who you are and what you can do. So that is the Housing First model. A lot of support would be given to the individuals, not only just the housing.
Housing First means building actual housing, not something that can be accomplished with temporary housing or putting people in hotel rooms or similar emergency measures, but it takes money. Do we have any idea of the cost to get to the point where we have suitable housing at a level that would address the problem in Yorkton?
Well, we do have a number of units in the report that it's saying that we're going to be needing moving forward in the next number of years. And you're right. Yeah, those all cost a lot of money. And as a nonprofit, you know, that's probably something that we don't have the ability to do. But there are some amazing federal grants, provincial grants that our housing committee will be looking at and applying for to look at getting some of those doors built so that individuals can have that place when they show up homeless. nowhere to go. We can then get them into a place while we work on some of those longer term solutions and helping them, supporting them with whether it's like Melinda had said before, education, employment, those sort of things. But you know, we need those homes available first for them to go into, or those units for them to go into, so they can then deal on some of those other issues that they're not really dealing with, because they're just wanting to ensure that they're at home and or have a home and are warm and that sort of thing for the evening too. So when it comes to costs, it just depends on per units. I don't have a actual cost of what that is right now, but the Yorkton Housing Corporation currently is putting forward a proposal to look at a number of different doors here in Yorkton to get to this housing first model, where we can have those available for individuals.
Are there sources of funding available for supporting housing first? I mean, there's a capital cost, and then there's obviously ongoing operating costs, as well as the costs associated with the support services that you're looking at providing. What kind of funding is available initially and on an ongoing basis, if any?
The federal government has announced a second round of their Rapid Housing Initiative. And the first round of that was, I believe it was $2 billion or $1.5 billion that was available for nonprofits, municipalities to look at funding these types of housing first model approaches. And it was for capital. So, you know, looking at building, a lot of them was focusing on modular homes, those sort of things. And so they've just announced a second round for that. And again, it's open to municipalities and nonprofits. The other piece of it is the support services. So we have Sign that offers a number of different programs, maybe mental health, addictions, could be the school divisions, college, whoever it may be that needs to provide those supports. That would be more of us kind of looking at readjusting how we currently do things to ensure that we're able to provide those supports to individuals. The one thing with Sign and with other nonprofits, a lot of times we're always looking out for different grants or funding that's available. And so it's kind of just keeping, you know, our finger on the pulse of these different funding sources that may come up through government or that sort of thing, and applying and putting together proposals with those as well.
They're suggesting that a good location for this type of housing would be downtown Yorkton. Is that something that came out of the focus groups, or is that something that you would say is you would agree with as far as a potential location?
Yes. A lot of the individuals don't drive. They don't have a vehicle, even if they did have a license. We want to keep it close to the different supports that they would be able to get to. You know, the downtown area would have the income assistance programs, any kind of shopping. It's hard to get groceries and walk with all these bags of groceries across town. I know Yorkton's not very big, but, you know, just it would be easier for these people that are requiring the different services, resources in the city to be closer to them.
This is obviously a large project. It has been done in other cities. I think Prince Albert, like Medicine Hat, was kind of on the forefront of this, Regina and Saskatoon. But this is something that obviously needs the support, not of only of Sign and the agencies, but of the city of Yorkton as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And on our social housing committee, we do have Mayor Hipsley. He's been quite engaged in the housing piece. And prior to Mayor Hipsley, Mayor Maloney was on it as well. And so the city needs to be a part of it. They know a lot of the work that they do, even with Yorkton Housing Corporation, those sort of things. That's something they're seeing quite a bit of as well. It kind of goes both ways. So the city, you know, needs to support it, but we also need to support the city. So as human service agencies in our community, you know, if this is something that we're serious about with a housing first model, you know, maybe it's that partnership where the city can look at, you know, having these units available, that sort of thing. But as nonprofits and as human service agencies, we need to be there to support those individuals and help them along that process, especially if we are focusing on a housing first model. So I believe it can be a really good partnership that we'd have with our agencies and with the city of Yorkton to move this forward.
The question that always gets asked when you start talking about making plans like this is, well, when is this going to happen? When are we going to see the walls going up and the cement being poured? Any sense at all of timelines going forward?
Right now, I can't say a certain date or anything like that, but what I can say is the federal government right now is really pushing the Housing First initiatives and models and providing funding for it. And so it just depends on proposals that are put in, when they're accepted. I know with the Rapid Housing Initiative, this second round and even the first round, like they're talking rapid housing as in they wanted it within a year, that these things are up and have people in them. So the second round is very similar that way. And I think it just depends on the type of funds that are available and that sort of thing. But if successful, it could be within a year, but again, dependent on those grants being successful.
And before we end this, credit where credit is due.
I would like to mention that we did consult with Praxis Consulting Limited in Regina to do the needs assessment for us. So they took the lead on it. They got all the information for the reports. They did the surveys, focus groups, interviews with all of the partners that needed to be addressed, and gave us the report that we have now so that we're able to go forward with making some of these changes.
Belinda and Andrew, thanks for all this information and sharing these plans. There's a lot of work to be done, and I know that SIGN is committed to implementing these plans with the assistance and the cooperation of the many partners that we have in the community. For those that are interested in the details, getting into real details, the full plan is public information, and it's available on the SIGN website at www.signyorkton.ca. So if you're interested in reading more, about 120 pages or so. There's lots of reading there. There's lots of information there for those that are interested. New SIGN for the Times podcasts are published regularly. In upcoming podcasts, we will continue to talk with those who have been assisted by SIGN's various programs and with the program managers and the staff who provide that assistance. If you have comments or suggestions, please feel free to email communications@signyorkton.ca or use the contact options on our website at signyorkton.ca. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, all at signyorkton. Thanks for listening, and we will talk again soon.